Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. Let us greet everybody and pass God's peace, whether it's across the aisle or the person next to you, and wish them a glorious happy Sunday and God's peace. Now let us continue to prepare our hearts for worship as we sing our hymn of preparation on the inside of your bulletin. Page of our newsletter that we are now getting every 2 weeks focused on the insert that you have in your bulletin today. I'd like for you to pull it out. I'd like to call your attention to it. There's a list of Bible study opportunities that are included on this insert. I'd like for you to study it, look at it, look at your schedule, and make a commitment. This is a very critical element of our growth as Christians and as a major foundation for this church. So let me encourage you to look over the options, the opportunities, and look at your schedule to find the time that you can make that commitment to your own growth, your own spiritual development, as well as the importance of your membership and your service to Christ in this church. You also have a couple other items in the bulletin that I'd like to call your attention to. The ladders that they would like to borrow from First Press. We have gotten the reputation of being builders for Christ in this community because of our WARM project and because of our participation in Salkehatchie. So they know exactly where to look for ladders. And they would like to request borrowing some ladders for their project that they've got going. So look at that and see if you can find a ladder around the house you can spare and make that commitment. There's a phone number where you can call to get in touch with Lee. Also, the Worshiping God Through the Arts. We need to get folks registered because it's going to be starting this next week, as well as Children's Day in Greenville. And, of course, I want to put in another plug for the rummage sale. That's the Calling All Cooks is at the bottom for baked goods. But also, this is a really good time to clean out and not be hoarders. I don't know about your Sunday school class, but our Sunday school class has, for the last couple of weeks, been talking about how we let things become idols. And how we start collecting stuff. And so we would like to urge you to start getting rid of some of your stuff that you really don't need to be cluttering your home or your lives. So look through things you've got, and we don't want things that don't work, but we would like to have some nice items so that we can use this as a very successful fundraiser. So look over your newsletter and remember that we'll only have one, not this coming week, but the next. So you'll need to get your material into the church office to Emmy in time for the next newsletter. Now, let us continue our worship service as the acolyte enters with the light of Christ.
Will all of you who are able to rise, please stand and join us in this morning's call to worship. The Spirit of God gave the universe birth. Our God is the first. Our God is the last.
No other.
Yet this same God invites us, saying, "Don't be afraid.
Thank you. Join with me, please, in praying the prayer of invocation as printed in your bulletin. Spirit of God, your field await their planting. Newly turned soil reaches from horizon to horizon. It lies damp and loose, warming the air with a sweet scent. Sow your seeds and tend them. The sprouting weeds will not choke the good plants. They will be crowded out by the ripening grain. O tender of the earth, our hearts are your field. We hear your approach, bearing the seed you will scatter. Let your seed fall on fertile ground. Amen. And let us join our hearts together in making our affirmation of faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Testament reading is from the 28th chapter of Genesis, verses 10 through 19a. If you wish to follow in your pew Bibles, it is found on page 30 in the Old Testament section. Here now is a reading from God's Word. And Jacob left Beersheba and went towards Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night, because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set up on the earth, the top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending it. And the Lord stood beside him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and to your offspring. And your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth. You shall be spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And all the families of earth shall be blessed to you and in your offspring. Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on top of it. And he called that place Bethel, but the name of the city was Luz at the first. Our epistle reading this morning comes from Paul's letter to the church in Rome, chapter 8, verses 12 through 25. Again, if you wish to follow along in your pew Bible, it's located on page 191 in the New Testament section. Listen again for God's word to us. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live accordingly to the flesh. For if you live accordingly to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if, in fact, we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to reveal to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but of the will who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay, and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. Not only for the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we are saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us prepare to go to prayer, and the prayer concerns are printed in your bulletin. And I will also say that one of our prayers has been answered and that Joyce is back with us today. So we give thanks. She has been had surgery, and we're thankful that she's making progress and back with us today. And also ask that you add Judy Roberts to your prayer list as well. Let us be in an attitude of prayer. Holy God, we affirm that we indeed are your children, that you are our Heavenly Father. And we come to you thanking you for the privilege to be the garden that you have planted. We thank you, dear God, that we have responded to the love of God, the reign of the Holy Spirit, the fertile soil that has brought forth this hope that we have in Christ Jesus, and the joy it is to be here with this family and to unite our hearts here. Holy God, we pray your blessings upon your people everywhere as they lift up their hearts and hands and praise to you this day. And for those who have special needs and those in our hospital, those recovering, those in faraway places, Holy God, meet their needs this day according to the riches in Christ Jesus, according to your love and your omnipresence. Holy God, reassure them and us together that you are always present, always listening, always here, always right now. Dear God, we thank you again that you have heard us. We thank you again for this church, for the family of the faithful that have journeyed through the years. And we thank you for the future that we have as we share the seeds of the gospel of hope. Continue to be with those who are sharing the gospel in faraway places, those protecting our country, our city, our county, in the day and during the night, and those in leadership over us. We pray as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare to receive our morning offerings, I would remind you of the challenge that went out during Bible school. If some of you would like to respond to the kids' gift during Bible school, that challenge still stands. And to remind you as well that the children are taking up an offering down here for Heifer. And so if you'd like to support them as they come forward and give them a little offering, you can. But that will be for Heifer International. They are buying a sheep, I think it is. All right? So let us worship the Lord with our morning tithes and offerings. Ushers, come please. Holy God, we bring these gifts from your people to the altar, thanking you for each one who chose to give this day. And for those who had not or chose not to give, we thank you for them and for their lives. For the so many and varied ways that Main Street and the community returns to you blessings that we have received. By the building of ramps, by the giving of food from a community garden or from the food pantry. Whatever the way, O God, we know that you see. And we pray indeed that as a result of faithfulness here, that the gospel of Christ will grow elsewhere. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Please be seated. It's time for the children's message, and as they come forward, I'll remind them to bring the change for the Heifer Project offering. The progress to date, as I understand it, is about $54, so we're almost halfway through a sheep. And we'll continue to give you updates as the weeks progress. So if the children will come forward for the message now.
Good morning. How y'all doing? Everybody good? Y'all go ahead and put your money in. This is a very worthwhile project. I'm going to take my coat off. We're going to get a little fired up here in a few minutes. Mr. Valentine, if you'll take care of my coat for me. Get fired up here. You might as well forget the sermon. We're going to be going strong here. That's great. We don't want to hurry this project. Okay, we might go ahead, if we could get it in there. Everybody doing all right out there? We could always sing another song if we need to. Spence is doing this thing upright, I guarantee you. How y'all doing today? Everybody good? Today we're going to talk about one of my favorite characters in the Bible. And I'm not sure if y'all know him or not, but his name was Joshua. Anybody heard of Joshua? Okay, good, William. I'm glad. All right, we're going to find out a lot about Joshua. William, what do you know about Joshua? Do you know who Joshua is? Okay, you've heard of Joshua. Joshua, there's a song that goes, Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. Remember, Joshua was a head of the Israelites when they went into the promised land. But Joshua was a leader. And there was this big city, and this city was Jericho. And Jericho had a lot of walls around it. And so God told Joshua, this is how we're going to do it. We're going to march around this city every day for 6 days. Then the seventh day when we march around it, we're all going to shout and the walls are going to come falling down. Okay? Now, the walls are going to fall down. Well, what we're going to do, let's all get in a line behind me, if you will. Now, we're going to do a little marching. We're going to show how this happened. We're going to march up this way. Joyce is going to give us a little marching music here in a minute. And we're all going to... Now, listen. When I raise my hand, we're going to say that's the seventh day. And I'm going to raise my hand and everybody shout. Now, nothing's going to happen here. Don't get anybody panic. But, you know, we want to just shout. Okay? With everybody following along. Joyce, can we have a little traveling music? All right, here we go. Everybody come now. Here we go. We're marching around. That's Monday. We got around Monday. All right. We've gotten around Tuesday. If you want to join us, you're welcome to. Y'all can join us. All right. Here we go. We're working on Wednesday. These guys back here, we done caught them. All right. We're on Thursday. We're on day four. All right, day five is up. Everybody marching? All right, day six is just about over. All right, we're day seven. Now, when I raise my hand, I want everybody to yell. Day seven. Oh! Now, this is an example of God and people working together. God gave Joshua the plan. God told Joshua what they were to do. And the people did it. And the walls came tumbling down. When we let God use us, we can do great things. When we let God and us work together, great things can happen. We can see that smile. We can be friendly to people. We can make people happy. We had a song here. God used those gentlemen to sing and Miss Joyce to play. God can use us. God used Joshua. He used the people. They worked together. Our prayer is that you let God use you where you can make a difference in people's lives. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for loving us. Use us to make a difference. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We are.
The gospel lesson this morning is found in the gospel according to Matthew. Begin reading with the 24th verse of the 13th chapter. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the household came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seeds in your field? Where then did these weeds come from? He answered, An enemy has done this. And the slaves said to him, Then do you want us to go and gather them? But he replied, No, for in the gathering the weeds, you will uproot the wheat also with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest, and at the harvest time I will tell the reapers, Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. And then go into the 36th verse. And then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples approached him, saying, Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. And he answered, The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his garden all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen. The word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. In last week's lesson, we talked about scattering seeds and successful seeds in God's kingdom. We realize that there are sometimes that we scatter seeds and they fall on good ground and produce a bountiful harvest, and sometimes they fall on rocky ground, and sometimes they are eaten by birds of the air and all different types of things. And there are those that are so successful that they produce a bountiful harvest. Well, in today's parable, we continue to talk about seeds and gardening, and we deal with the reality of life. For any of you that have any type of green thumb or wish that you had a green thumb or have ever endeavored to grow anything at all in your life, there is the fact of weeds. Now, I remember the first time that I was responsible for a yard with my children and my wife, and we were living in our first parsonage, and I let my kids go out in the yard barefooted, and they began to cry because they were spurs, and I found out that they call these things bulldogs. Now, we call them sand spurs in the low country, but up in Startex, South Carolina, they are known as bulldogs. And they literally saturate the yard. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life. I have no idea where they came from. And the only way that you can maintain these things is if you keep your grass cut real well and you watch after every rain, and you'll see a little something sticking its head up, and you'll know that that's not a regular piece of blade of grass. And you go out there and dig down into the yard and you pull it out and you throw it away. It's a continual battle that I suspect goes on to today. I am glad I'm not having to fight the battle of bulldogs today. Fella in Minnesota, Leith Anderson, was talking about his yard in a suburban weed-infested lawn, and he had people from Kim Loan to come and to look at his yard, and they rejected it. They said it was too bad to work on. And one of his members happened to be an old farmer, and he told him, he said, I'm going to tell you how to deal with your yard. He said, you plant nothing but good seed. Don't worry about getting rid of all the weeds, he said. Just grow grass. And the grass will take care of the weeds. Said Anderson said that he took his prescription and did all that he could to grow the good stuff. He said after a couple of years, his yard looked just as good as everybody else's in the block. When we think about this concept in our church life, we realize that the most important thing for us to concentrate on is the positive. It's amazing to me how negative we can be when we look around us and we have all the wonderful facilities. Do you know that there are churches all over this country that do not have a beautiful sanctuary like Main Street to worship in? There are lots of churches that don't have the beautiful administration section that we have. And then to throw in on top of that, a gymnasium with all the first-class nurseries and all the rooms and all the other things. We have a wonderful facility. Yeah, we got to pay for it. We understand that. But we still have this wonderful facility to be used for the kingdom of God. We have to remember that in the process of being the church, that we keep a positive attitude. That we plant good seeds. Good seeds of thought. As we speak good positive things. And it has a tendency to take root. I remember hearing a few years ago on the radio about some folks that moved to New Mexico. Now, my uncle had went out to Arizona, New Mexico area, and he had worked. And he come back and told my daddy how good his sinuses were while he was out there and how good he could breathe and all this kind of stuff. Well, as I was reading as I was listening to this commentator on the radio, he was talking about these people that had moved out to New Mexico because the doctor had assigned them a prescription for them to move there in order to deal with their sinuses. Well, these people took with them their grass. And they did away with the weedy, scraggly sagebrush, the cactus, and the scrub grass. They rooted out all the native vegetation and sowed great swaths of Kentucky bluegrass. They had clover and such things. They used the precious water out in the desert, massive amounts of it for nutrients into the thin desert soil. Next thing you know came mites, ticks, mosquitoes that were new to the region. And the plants brought with them loads of pollen, airborne goodies that produce sneezing and coughing and wheezing. Why, it was just as if these folks never left home. They created an environmental disaster. If we think about it, there are some worthless weeds out there. I think about kudzu sometimes when I think about worthless. I do understand that some people eat kudzu. I haven't gotten there yet. But we think about some worthless weeds, that there are some out and out, downright worthless attitudes growing sometimes within the rank of our congregations. Sometimes worthless attitudes and weeds growing in our city government, our local schools, some of our elected public officials. They get elected or appointed and are promoted and seem to be good seeds, anxious to contribute to the welfare of others. And then they begin to reveal their true weed-like nature, selfishly producing thorns and chaffs. The good news that we read this morning in this passage of Scripture is, don't let those turkeys get you down. Don't let them sap your soul's strength. There is a way to deal with this, and it's to continue to plant good seeds yourself. Continue to work for the positive. Continue to work for that which enriches the community, and that which produces stamina and direction and sanity and sanctity. Sometimes it appears to us that the weeds outgrow the grass, but yet we are still called to procreate the good growth. That's the promise of the gospel. To remember that Jesus defines the field of weeds and wheat as nothing less than the world, and not just polite, educated, middle-class Americans, are not just those who are common ethical heritage or economic status are with us. And there are those that are not even what they should be, as I've already mentioned, in the church. Jesus does not intend for the church to be a hothouse flower house, but he calls for us to live in the world, to live among the weeds, learning how to survive in this present, sometimes negative world, to give a positive impact. Pulling the weeds is not our business, as passages of Scripture reminds us, but it reminds us that we are to spread the good seed. There's a story told about a young man went to the full service station, and the young man came out and cleaned his windshield. The young man looked at the fella and he said, "That's the most terrible job of cleaning a windshield I have ever seen in my life. Please clean my windshield." And so he washed the windshield again. And the guy looked at him and he said, "Son, if you don't clean this windshield properly, I am going to report you to your supervisor. Now clean my windshield." The attendant cleaned the windshield a third time when the man's wife reached over and took his glasses off and cleaned them, handed them back to him, and he put the glasses back on and he looked through the cleanest windshield you had ever seen. Scripture reminds us this morning again that we are not the ones to be judging between the good and the bad weeds. The Scripture reminds us in Matthew 7:1, "From the same way you judge others, you'll be judged. And with what measure you use it, it will be measured to you." Sometimes we forget that we are looking through the smudge glasses of our own selves. Even John Wesley was guilty of that type of sin one day, when there was a man who he had little respect for because he considered him to be miserably and covetous. And one day when the person contributed only a small gift to a worthy charity, Wesley openly criticized him. After the incident, the man went to Wesley privately and told him that he had been living on parsnips, which is a kind of carrot, and water for several weeks. He explained that before his conversion, He had run up many bills. And now, by skimping on everything and buying nothing for himself, he was paying off his creditors one by one. Christ has made me an honest man, he said. And so, with all these debts to pay, I can give only a few offerings above my tithe. I must settle up with my worldly neighbors and show them what the grace of God can do in the heart of a man who was once dishonest. Wesley then apologized to the man and asked for his forgiveness. You see, God calls for us to be those who communicate the grace of God. Our central task is to help other people experience God's grace just as we have experienced it. We cannot do that if we come across with a condemning attitude. And besides, we don't know what other people are going through. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." And John 3:17 says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Christ did not come to condemn people, but to save them. And we are not here to judge. We are here to be God's grace reaching out. Oh, there may be those around us who are not living as they should, sleeping around, drinking too much, or maybe too critical. But our task is to love people and to witness to them of a God who loves them. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is number 418. We are climbing. No, it's number 100, 600, Wonderful Words of Life. Contacts are good up here. Let's stand together.
Thank you.
benediction is a responsive benediction found in your bulletin. From where we are to where you need us. From the security of what we know to the adventure of what you will reveal. To refashion the fabric of this world until it resembles the shape of your kingdom. Because good things have been prepared for those who love God.